Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
So we've been talking about Benjamin, right? And Benjamin, for those of you, I realized last week as well as I re-listened that I probably need to help again just set the context, particularly for today, because I probably will round this up today. Because when Benjamin is, so we have Abraham and Isaac, right? Abraham is the father of faith. Hundreds of years before the law is ever given, Abraham is declared righteous by God because of his faith, his belief, and his trust. Abraham has a son called Isaac who marries a woman called Rebecca. It's like EastEnders. Now, if you had listened a few weeks ago, you go, I'm absolutely rubbish at doing this. So at some point, I will get this wrong and bring Moses into it. But just, you know, because as soon as I start to go, that's his brother's sister's wife's cousin. You know, as I said last week, his brother's wife's sister's cousin said to me, and I'm going, whoa, stop. I lost your brother's wife. You know, so I'm rubbish at this. So you have Abraham, Isaac, and then you get to this guy, Jacob. Jacob has loads of sons, okay? Those sons will, he's got 12 sons and one daughter. He marries a woman called Leah, who I explained to you last week. Leah represents the law. And we see that clearly in the way that she operates. And Jacob is tricked. So it's that thing of me working. It's a trick to work your way into blessing. All right? Does that make, ring any bells from last week? That is a trick. And then what happens is with you have Leah and you have Rachel, who represents grace, all right, for me. And then they have, so Jacob will become Israel, and the sons become the names of the tribes. So what you see is whenever they take it into their own hands, you have sons born like Dan and Naphtali, which mean judgment and struggle. So anything that you take into your own hands, think about this. What you do by your own hand because you think you're sufficient will result in judgment and struggle in your life. No blessing. If you do it, if you work hard to produce it, you've got to work hard to keep it, right? But what the Lord brings into your life, not only does he bring it, and it's not that you sit in your backside and kind of cruise, but the responsibility to hold what God brings into your life in terms of blessing and goodness is his responsibility, amen? If he brings it. But if you decide, well, look, I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty good. I've got this thing nailed. Well, I think the Lord goes, I'm going to talk about this today. The Lord goes, fair enough, knock yourself out, but you hold it. Your future, put it in your hands. You get me? But grace says something different. And what happens then is, I started to speak about this last week. I said that in the sons you have Jacob, then we have Joseph. Now, Joseph is a representative of Jesus. I don't have time to go into it, but there's about 150 things in the story of Joseph that we can point straight back to Jesus. So he's a type and a shadow, right? Jesus concealed in the old but revealed in the new. And he has another son called Benjamin, and Benjamin is the youngest son, and he represents to us today a generation of grace, the last generation, the youngest son, and he is the favorite, all right? So does God play favorites? Well, let's not get into that, but what we know is that when we look at this story, that you have Jacob, and he has a favorite son. Now, what did I tell you last week? What's really interesting? I'll come to it maybe a bit later on. It's like the reason why he loves Joseph and Benjamin is, this is the father, Jacob, loving Joseph and Benjamin, is because they come from the same mother called Rachel, who's a picture of grace. All right? So they share the same father, but have a different mother. Is that kind of like a roundup of what I was talking about? It's a belter. Go listen. It's absolutely brilliant. So what I said is this, Benjamin means the son of the right hand. It means a place of favor. It means to be marked by righteousness. And I said last week, don't confuse righteousness and right behavior, because one is what you're trying to do, and righteousness is a gift. And everything that is born out of love and God's goodness in your life, the fruit of love is increase in favor. And Joseph is going to go on. For those of you who don't know the story, Joseph is the guy with a nice coat. His brothers get murderous and jealous over him because they see that he is favored by their father. So they throw him into a pit. They leave him to die. Now, for those of you who don't know, Joseph is then sold into slavery. He goes into prison because he refuses to sleep with his master's wife, even though she comes on to him really strong. So he's thrown into prison from the palace to the prison, from the pit to the prison to the palace is the way it goes in his life, all right? So from the pit into a good place, chucked into prison, left there to rot for about 13 or 14 years, and then promoted again. And at this bit of the story that we're going to jump into today, he's probably the right-hand man of Pharaoh. So he's probably the second most important person. And what's happening is God has promoted him into a place, and even though he has nothing, the story of Joseph is incredible. He said, the Lord actually says about him, he was prosperous because God was with him. So no matter where we go, you are prosperous. Why? Because you've got God with you. Not just around you, but in you. and whether you find yourself in a pit, in a prison, or in a palace, it's all about where God has placed you, all right? And there is a journey and a progression that we're going to see. Because what happens is Jacob, the father, and his brothers, the other brothers, find themselves now in a place of famine. They're dying, and they need to go to Egypt to find some sustenance and food. If not, they're going to die. And imagine this. The son, the brother that you threw into the pit, all right? Knowing that he was probably going to be dying, and now he's the man who has life or death over you. Oof. Talk about awkward. Like, oh my word. But they don't recognize him and all sorts of stuff. So let's get into it. Is that good? All right. So that's it. For those of you who don't know your Bible, that's just a wee bit of the story. But so Joseph, now one brother, is the man in charge. He has the power of life and death over the brothers who don't know him, who don't recognize him. And Benjamin, the youngest son, all right, of Jacob, is the one who is marked by favor. He's the favorite because they both come from the same mother, called Rachel, who's the picture of grace. So Joseph was Jacob's favorite. There's absolutely no doubt about it. That's why his brothers got jealous, bitter, angry, and murderous. And you will always see this when it comes to law and to grace. When you see those two struggles, I talked about this from Galatians 4 a few weeks ago. Where there is favor in your life, make no bones about it, legalists and the spirit of religion will attack it to get you back under law. That's just the way that it works. I mean, people in Northern Ireland are really happy to talk about you being blessed, as long as you're not blessed too much. Because see, there is a point, and nobody quite knows what the point is, all right? Where that it's fine to be blessed this much, but if you go to this much, oh no, hold on, now you're a prosperity teacher. Isn't that right? It's just bonkers. I kind of go, who makes up the rules? If it's not Jesus and what he says, who decided that that much blessing was enough and no more? Do you get that? It's flipping bonkers. I'd love to meet the person, the man or the woman who went, actually, God put it into my hands to decide how much blessing is enough blessing. I mean, you can be healthy, but not too healthy, all right? It's good to have a wee bit of, like Paul said, a thorn in the flesh, because that just keeps you humble, brother, right? It's good to be provided for. Do you know what? But see, if you change your car every 3 years, you might as well be on the TV in America telling people to reach out and touch the screen, brother, you know? You're one step away from selling miracle healing oil as soon as you start to go down that line. You know, old sweaty hanky, stick those in the post, love, you know, and people, oh, that's, you know what I mean? That's gross, actually. Can we just, I actually don't know where that came from, but let's just, for the purpose of, but you know what I mean? Oh, if I could just rub myself in that man's sweat, I too could be blessed. You know, anyway, you get my point, all right? So we need to check in on ourselves and say, now, because the whole heart of God prospering this generation was why? Exodus 16. For this purpose, God says, I have raised you up so that my name, says Jesus, might be glorified and all the world will see it. I just don't get what is God going to raise up? A sick, poor, needy, broke generation that the world is going to look at and go, are you bonkers? What kind of God do you serve? But when we see the glory of God, and that's not about money, that is about the fullness of God in you, every way that you were designed to fully prosper in your body, your soul, and your spirit, then the world will take notice. Why? Because they have no clue how to get that. And what would we do? We're dead clever? Absolutely not. It's about Jesus and his finished work of grace. Amen? That's why the Lord's raising us up. So do not be churlish. All right? And don't try to fit in with the spirit of the age, which is God loves you, but God loves you to this point. Now, once you go over that, oh, no, no. Let's just get a wee bit of balance in there. Okay? Now, I am not saying that there are not abuses of this. Okay? But that's like anything, isn't it? I mean, there are people who, I don't know, abuse alcohol. It doesn't mean that it's not okay to have a glass of wine. Do you hear what I'm saying? What we can't do is define what we believe and what we receive from God in terms of the negative, okay? Do you get that? Okay, I'm off on one. But that's my point. Because the truth of it is when the word comes, my title of today's talk is, Are You Ready to Receive? And the truth of it is many of us want to receive to a point. And then we kind of get a wee bit churlish and we get a wee bit embarrassed and we kind of go, I can't be that blessed. I mean, because if I get that blessed, actually, I don't know what to do. And it's just a wee bit embarrassing, right? And actually, the truth of it is, at its core, that goes, I actually don't deserve it, is really the issue. Because somehow we're still equating with, you know, something that I'm doing is because I'm receiving because of something that I'm doing. And in this story, what we see is Benjamin did nothing. He was blessed because God said so. Amen. Amen. Not good? That's some introduction right there. So that is my point, right? So let me just say this. Grace is not a doctrine. The unmerited favor of God in your life is not a doctrine. It's not a book that you read. Grace is a person, and his name is Jesus. All right? And we are blessed because of Jesus. That's why we preach Jesus. That's why faith will come whenever you hear about Jesus and not about principles. All right? If we hear Jesus first, who he is and what he has done, if we see him the whole way through Scripture, then faith comes. All right? I believe that with all of my heart. This is why I said it last week from 2 Corinthians 3. It says, well, what is the difference? What is the difference between hearing even about God, listen, and Jesus? The world's really cool to talk about God. You have a belief in God? That's brilliant. Actually, God, because it means, you know, God means so many different things to so many different people, all right? People don't trip up over God, but they trip up over the name of Jesus, all right? Do you get that? So that's why we are about Jesus and his finished work, all right? That's why this story is about Jesus marking out his generation in the end times prophetically to lift them up so that the whole world can see him, because he has been anointed and lifted to that place by his Father. All right, we get that? So this is what happens in 2 Corinthians 3. It says, but in their minds they're hardened. This is Paul writing to Corinthians. For to this day, that means right now, okay? To this day, whenever you read the old covenant is the covenant of performance. You can receive, only receive when you do. Right? Whenever, and that's where you kind of go, you can be blessed so much, okay? But not that is the law of Moses. Don't expect too much, all right? Because you're not good enough to receive the fullness of God, all right? Now, every time you read the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted. This is the veil that I taught you back, was the veil that was overlay. How on earth did he marry the wrong guy, the wrong girl, the wrong guy? Flipping Nora. Oops. It could have been a guy. He didn't know that there was a veil. That would have been an even bigger surprise, right? Can you imagine? Because Leah had a veil on, right? And the truth of it is, that's why he couldn't see, right? Jacob couldn't see what was in front of him because there was a veil, all right? And Paul talks about this veil. It's like whenever you read law, it's like a veil comes down and you cannot see the beauty. Okay, you can't judge what's behind. Why? Because you can't see through the veil. So the law is like a veil that comes down, and it remains unlifted, all right? Because the only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, today, Belfast, March the 1st, 2020, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over people's hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, when you turn to Jesus, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, so when you're in Christ under grace, you have an unveiled face, right? And you can behold the glory of the Lord. You can look right into the face of Jesus. And as you look at Jesus, you are transformed into that very same image. Yeah. All right? Isn't that good? And that's why with our church, we kind of go, it matters in 2020 that we receive faith to believe that God can give us five times more in this place and beyond this place into our new building. Why? Because right now, I honestly believe, it doesn't, and I'm not judging, I'm just saying, how on earth will we raise up a generation in today's world where people look and say, what is it about them? Not just about money, but they prosper in their lives. They are not perfect by any means. They make the same messes that I make. They walk through the same stuff that I walk through. They look just like me, but they are marked differently. What is it about them? And we can't tell them it's because of what we do, because it's not. We lift up the veil to see Jesus revealed, and we say, have a look at Jesus. Have a look at his work and receive him, and you'll be in the same process of going from glory to glory. Does that make sense? Okay, good. And so I think the law blinds you to see properly, and then you miss out on blessing. So let me just say this. Let me get quickly into the story. I love one of my favorite verses ever is John 1:17. For the law was given, but grace and truth came. The law was given, but grace and truth came. And this is about us understanding that this year, every year, it doesn't matter what the year is, but right now, I honestly believe that the Lord is saying, I have come, okay, into your life with grace and with truth. I don't have, in a sense, the Lord says, I don't have anything else but grace and truth. Do you know that? There's nothing outside of what I've done. My work is complete. I don't have anything else for you, but everything that I have is everything that you need, right? And I'm coming close to you, the Lord says, to reveal Jesus, to lift up this veil so that you can see clearly more and more glory to glory, grace to grace in your life. So let's have a look at this guy, Joseph. So Joseph is a type of Jesus. And here's what I want you to do very quickly. As you hear this word, I want you to think about your life and go, where am I going to have faith for tomorrow morning? Whenever you get into your car and you're driving to your work and you're going through everything that your work has to do, or you're in your home or you're doing whatever, where is your faith? Where is your ability to stand strong and to whatever's going on, your belief going to come from that's going to help you to really get through? Yeah? Okay, so let's have a look at this. So Joseph is a type of Jesus. Okay, so Jacob's son Joseph, the one who's in the from the pit to the palace to the whatever, okay? So remember that in the Old Testament, Jesus is always concealed, but he's revealed in the New. The whole of Scripture, in fact, points to Jesus. So how do we know, how can we be sure when we look at this story that we can walk away and go, that is Jesus in that story, so I can pull the truth from it? Well, let me, there's 150 ways that we can parallel the story of Joseph and Jesus, but let me just give you some. So Joseph, he's rejected and he's hated by his brothers, just like Jesus was. Okay, when Jesus comes, they kill him. Yeah, anyone get that? And we kind of go, right, okay, so his brothers, the Jews, they reject him and they kill him. Now, what's really interesting is when his brothers come the second time to Egypt, they don't recognize him. What's really interesting is his brothers don't recognize who he is and the position that he has been put in. The one who has life and death, and they look at him and they don't even see him. Now, but they will do the second time around, they'll recognize Jesus for who he is. You get that? You know, when Joseph's in prison, he's there with two criminals. I mean, all these tiny details are really incredible. There's two criminals, one who's going to live and the other one is going to die. It's like Jesus on the cross, two people hung with him that day. One is going to be with him forever in eternity and one is going to reject him and die. Okay, actually in Hebrew, Joseph is called Zaphnath Paneah, right? Which means the savior of the world. All right, so actually written into his Hebrew name is Savior. Why? Because God has put him into a place where he's going to feed people who are in famine. People who are dying have nothing to eat. Zaphnath Paneah means I am the one who will save you. Do you get this? I mean, so where does your faith come to? So whenever I tell you what this last bit of the story is today, to go, I can receive that for me, it's because it's all pointing to Jesus. Okay, every bit of it is pointing to Jesus. So whenever, what happens is this. So whenever the boys are coming back, Jacob sends the boys back and he says, go and get some food, load up the donkeys, take a pile of cash and basically go and get us enough of what we need. All right. Now what happens is they're brought into the presence of Joseph, who is the man in charge. And it says here, and Joseph lifted up his eyes and he saw his wee brother Benjamin, his mother's son. Interesting, his mother's son. Remember, Joseph and Benjamin are from the same mother, Grace. All right. I wish I had time to go into that, but I don't. And he said, is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? God be gracious to you, my son. Then Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother, and he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber, and he wept there. Now, he only weeps when he sees his brother Benjamin, right? He sees all the other brothers, he doesn't weep. Why? Because, like I've said, they had the same mother, Rachel, who was Grace. This is why, this struggle between law and grace that we find even amongst brothers and sisters, right, is crazy, you know? It's always been the same. Isaac was born of promise and was persecuted by Ishmael, who wasn't born of promise. It leads to all kind of stuff, all kind of craziness and all the rest of it, but it doesn't matter, right? Whenever they come into the presence of Jesus, when they ever come into the presence of Joseph here, what's his word? I'll be gracious to you. I'll be gracious to you. Can I just say, whatever your mess is, whatever your fight is, whatever your struggle is, whether it's with people, in yourself, or whatever it is, everyone, when they come to Jesus himself, his only response is grace to you. Isn't that lovely? God be gracious to you. This is where you start to see, I mean, and you know, they had left this kid to die. This is years later of his whole life, you know, probably many times thinking, well, how the heck did I get here? But in the presence of Jesus himself, the only response is grace. That freaks some people out today because he's the God of judgment. He's the God of this. God will judge in the end, okay? But what we know about Jesus is he's already been judged so that we won't be judged again. If you're not in Christ, there is judgment awaiting you. But in Christ, there's none. Absolutely none. That's why grace matters. If not, people, do you really need Jesus? Well, I mean, if you want to be judged by the God of you know, the God of the universe, well, take your chance, all right? But I know that when I'm in Jesus, I'm never going to be judged again. The only judgment over my life and yours is righteousness. So I stand in the presence of Joseph, of Jesus. And what does he say to me? I'm going to be gracious to you. Did you mess up? Absolutely. Did you try to kill me? Yes. Did you forget about me and leave me in a pit? Yes. For all those years, did you tell lies about me and what happened? Absolutely. But here in my presence, grace to you. Isn't that lovely? Get up every day, every minute of every day when you've messed it up. And when you know that you're standing and you know that God's eyes are on you, just say, but, you know, look up and say, but I'm receiving grace right now. Grace is unmerited favor. It means that whatever situation you're in, he'll turn it around right there for you. Now, let's keep going very quick. He says, when the brothers are first in Egypt in Genesis 43, they're actually in prison. Now, what Joseph says is this. He says, I am not going to give... there won't be any feast. I'll not provide for you unless Benjamin is here, because the first time Benjamin's not around. So he gives instructions to go and get Benjamin. When Benjamin arrives, right, what does Joseph say? Joseph says, give them bread, right? So when the last generation arrives in that God has got his hand on, right, he says, give them bread, a picture of Jesus and his work, all right? And what he says is this generation, the feast will begin. Why? Because they have bread. They have my body broken for them so that they can be whole and that they can be absolutely full. Does that make sense? Now, what happens then is the feast starts to begin. Now, what happens is the blessing, now this is what's really interesting. The blessing was for Benjamin and all of his brothers. What happens is Joseph gives the brothers grain and money that they had spent to get there, right? So all the money that they'd spent, he replenishes it. So what that means is this. Let's not get funny about people who haven't had the veil lifted yet. When God is gracious to people, even those are under law, he always provides for what they need. Do you hear me? That's really important. Because sometimes we think, I'll not have if there's still law in my heart. Because we all know that there's law in our hearts. But what we see here is when Joseph looks, God being gracious to them was give them all the food that they need and pay them back for what they have spent. And that's what he does for them. Does that make sense? So don't worry if there's still stuff in your heart that the Lord needs to deal with. Because even people under law, when God is gracious, because it's unmerited in terms of favor, because you can't earn it, he still provides for their need. Isn't that incredible? Now that really is gracious. The older brother in us wants to go, here, hold on a wee second. I've done this, that, and the other. I'm in grace. I listen to Andrew. I listen to Pastor Prince. I've read the book. Destined to reign, why am I not seeing more? The Lord goes, seriously? Okay? There's common grace here. I think it's really important. You know, actually it says in Genesis 43, the brothers actually turn around and they go, we don't know who put the money in our sacks. Genesis 43:22. So sometimes, listen to me. What I'm trying to say is this. There will be people today, even sitting in here, who honestly, when you look at your life, you'll go, I don't know, right? We are blessed by the goodness of God, but some people just don't even recognize it or realize it. That's the point. But it's always the goodness of God. There are people even, I'm going to say, let's just not point the finger. Let's look at our own lives and go, there are probably times, right, where we go, I am totally blessed. And we either have no clue where it came from. We can see it, right? So we either think, I have no idea how I got this, or it's all about me. That's kind of the way that this thing breaks down. Does that make sense? We're blessed by, everyone is blessed by the goodness of God, just not everyone knows where it comes from. The Jewish people today, I think when you look at the Jews, they punch so far above their weight, 20% of Nobel Peace Prize winners, or Nobel Prize winners rather, right? They're very, very blessed, but they reject Jesus. They don't know where it comes from. I think it's prophetic for Israel because what Joseph does, he says, wait until Benjamin comes. You know, he says, wait until Benjamin comes. When you see Simeon in the temple and all the rest of it, I don't want to get into that. Okay. I want to think about your life and think about people that you see. They may be blessed and they may think it's about them. And so they say, I don't need God. I don't know where all this comes from. It's probably by the work of their own hand, right? And what happens is they're just like Simeon, their hearing is bound. They just don't recognize that actually the goodness of God blesses everybody. You might be the most legalistic person in this room. Can I just tell you, you will still be provided for and blessed and loved by God because his grace is completely unearned. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the levels of favor and grace and breakthrough that many of us want to see more and more. That's what I'm talking about today. And this is why it matters. This is what Joseph says in Genesis 45. He says, don't be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. He says to the brothers, because God sent me before you to preserve life. There's something incredible here. Where God says, you know, don't worry about the fact that you messed it up because I was sent in order that you might live. It's not really good. So what happens then with Benjamin versus the other brothers? There's so many levels of this message where the grace of Jesus is just incredible. Are you expecting the blessing of God or have you settled? Do you still think that I can expect so much but everything beyond that is just like a bad televangelist? Is your blessing physical, material, or is it both? You know, it is both. Remember, for this reason, God has raised you up. Can I just say, this is why I believe in 2020, your breakthrough will really matter, because the world has so much nonsense and counterfeit. It has lost its bearings completely. What does success mean to people today? There's whatever there is in terms of success for people, the world only has a cost, which they have to balance off against it. Do you get that? So if you want to be successful in your family, if you want to be successful in business, it'll probably cost you your family. If you want to be really successful, there's always a cost. You can't have fullness without a cost attached. So you want to have a really brilliant career, then something's got to give. Does that make sense? You want to have more money than what you have? Well, you're just going to have to do more. The result is that you might not have time. It's like there's an opportunity cost at every time. That's, the world has so much counterfeit, but that's the only way that they can work this stuff out. Now, listen to me. Even the world knows that your physical blessing is important. They're not squeamish about it, all right? But here's the thing about the world. They have no idea how to get there, and as the church, what we've done under law is we go, well, you know, when the veil is down, we look at the world and we go, look, they're really stupid. They don't realize about God. But then, if we're not in grace, what we do is we do exactly the same because we're not lifting the veil up to see Jesus completely. Now, what happens here is why we can say in this generation of Benjamin, we can be super blessed. Now, listen to me. This is what happens. Joseph clothes his brothers, and he wasn't a cheap guy. He was in a high position, so he would have been giving them all the good stuff. All right? So he blesses the generation and says, I will look after you. But what does he do with Benjamin? Does anyone know? What does the five times more look like? He gets five times more of everything, and he gets 300 pieces of silver. What does silver stand for? Redemption, okay? So he loads up 10 donkeys with all the good things, of all the spiritual things that we could talk about, but he loads up Joseph's life, or Benjamin's life, with all the good stuff that Israel, that Egypt has to offer. And he says, you know what? I'm just not going to look after you and your brothers are going to be looked after, and they're going to be fine. But see with you, when you walk away from here, I am loading you up with all of the abundance, all of the fullness, all of the provision. And I look how, you know, look how well I'm looking after. Think about the world today and go, look how well, in one sense, some people are looked after and they don't know Jesus. And the Lord says to you, I'll give you five times more than that and there'll be no sorrow. Why? Because I am blessing you. Why? Because you're part of a generation that is the last generation prophetically before Jesus comes back. Now, if you can't receive that in faith today, okay, your only other option is to go, I better work hard. And if you work hard, there's always going to be a cost. The Lord will add to you, and there will be no sorrow attached to it. Do you get that? And this is the point, let me take you right back to the beginning, where some of us go, I don't know whether I can believe that. Because you've just crossed the line there into crazy name it or claim it stuff. I just don't know whether we can go there. Like, bless me to this point, Lord, but see after that, not so sure. Do you feel that sometimes in your heart? Like, I couldn't believe that he would be that good to me. That I would walk away from Joseph, from Jesus, right? Laden down with five times more stuff, right? Now, remember what the purpose is? So that people can look at you and go, oh my goodness, tell me about this Jesus that you serve. Yeah. And it's not just about the stuff. It's about being fully alive. It's about prospering in your body, prospering in your mind, prospering in your family, prospering in your workplace, prospering in whatever avenue you find yourself in, whatever situation, prospering and becoming fully alive, full of the manifest presence of God. Why? Because that's just what he has decreed over this generation. Who will receive it? Who will receive it? And so many of us keep, it's not even like the veil won't lift. So many of us go, I'm happier with the veil down because I can't actually believe what it would mean to look like with an unveiled face into the full glory of God. Like, seriously, for me? Because we just go back to, well, I can't do that. I can't earn that. I'm a flipping buck Egypt. I fail every day. I fail more than one time every day. Anyone? And the Lord goes, I know. But because I loved you first, not because you loved me, I loved you first. And I said at this time, I would raise up a generation marked by what? Unmerited favor. Unearned, unmerited favor. In their bodies, in their souls, and in their spirits. Because that is how the world will see Jesus, through you and me. That's why he blesses us, folks. That's why we have, that's why I go, you've got to believe for more. This is not a nice to have. This is, for me, I go, this is a need to have. Because how else are they going to see? Think about the people in your world. How else are they going to see? How are people who don't know Jesus going to look at a church like ours and go, I tell you what is it about them? Because they have everything that I'm looking for. I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about in their relationships, in their thinking, in the way that they live their lives, in their relationships. There's something about them. That's what I want. That is what I am investing my whole life for. And no matter what I put in, I never seem to get it. I am tired and exhausted trying and trying and trying to try to figure out how I can really get to that place where I am fully alive. But you know what? For this purpose, the Lord says, I'm raising you up. And you know what? Because my love is unmerited, because my work in your life is unmerited, because I loved you first, then everything that I will do in you will not be because you've earned it anyway. Why? Because I don't want to raise up a generation, right, where it's all about them. And people go, well, aren't you clever? Aren't you the boy? Look at you. Aren't you brilliant? The world is doing that. And it's knackered. It can't cope. People are medicating. People are stressing out. People are getting tired. People are like, you know, they're doing whatever they can and they still can't get it, right? So God is not going to raise up the Christian version of the world to go, we're just like you, but you've got all the condemnation and shame that comes along with feeling like you're never good enough. He says, no, I'm going to raise up a five times more people, a five times more church in their bodies, their souls, and their spirits, and people are going to look and they're going to be attracted to the one who did it all. Yeah. Amen. That's why you need to believe for five times more. That's why you've got to think to yourself, you know what? And there's a wee bit of us in that goes, well, you know, I want to be blessed, not stressed. I don't need to be perfect, but I just want to live my life with God's favor all over me. I actually think what's really interesting here is whenever they bring this all back to Jacob, right? Benjamin comes back for the first time. The brothers tell Jacob, who's on his last legs, and he doesn't believe them. Right? You know that if you know the story, you'll know this. But so they go back to Jacob and go, do you know what? And he doesn't believe them. The old dad goes, no. And then what happens is he sees what happens. He actually puts his physical eyes onto what Jacob or Joseph provided. Right? So here's the key. I actually think in 2020, what the Lord is saying to us, the key to people seeing Jesus in you is not just about your words, but when they actually see the result of unmerited favor, grace, and peace filling you and flowing out of you, that will be different. I think this world needs to see. I honestly believe that. And I for one, in my own life, I can go and look, Lord, I'm seeing lots of favor and lots of blessing in some areas of my life. Actually, the point where I'm going, how do you handle it? Okay, that's a different story where the Lord goes, okay, I'm not going to stop you. You're going to have to learn to grow into it. All right? Because if I bless you and then you think it's about you holding it, well, do you know what? If I bless you and pour in, I'll show you and grow you so that you can handle what I want to do in and through you. Why? Because it's not about you anyway. It's about my purpose. Right? So funny when you see the panic in the eyes, right? Of, that's the Lord phoning saying, hurry up, it's nearly lunchtime. Would you ever shut up? So I guess what I'm trying to say to you is this. I've probably tried to travel too much distance this morning. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. When faith comes, why don't you guys get ready here? You need faith to live. Faith's not going to come from investing yourself in Facebook or Instagram. It's going to come from the Word of God revealing Jesus to you. And the Word of God is clear in this generation, marked by what? Righteousness. Marked by righteousness and unmerited favor for the sole purpose of letting people see Jesus. The incredible thing about it is this, is I wondered what it was like to go away from Joseph that day and they find their sacks full of stuff and they go, who the flip did this? Where did this all come from? Where's all this about, right? And people looking at them going, how did that happen? Because remember where they were, there was famine. Jacob eventually comes back to the land, but there was famine and all sorts of stuff. In a land where people are dry and tired, they're not blessed, but they're fairly stressed. Where in one level of things, they have a level of blessing over their lives. Why? Because God's always good. Do you get that? God doesn't hate people. He wants them to do well. And even people who are under law, God blesses them. There's a level where he goes, you know what? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Okay? I'm your healer. It's how we access and walk in to the fullness is what we're talking about this morning. Do you get that? And I think in a land where, if you don't know Jesus, you're definitely in trouble. But if you do know Jesus and you've got a veil over your eyes, you can't see the promise anyway. And that's a really tiring place because when you can't see Jesus, all you can see is yourself. God help us from that, huh? So we lift up the veil to see Jesus. And when we lift up that veil, what we see is this generation, this time, is five times more. Isn't it funny that five is the number of grace? So this generation gets because of grace, not because of what they've earned. You can believe as you walk out this door today in your body, your soul, and your spirit for so much more than what you've ever seen before. Why? Because he loves you. And this is a prophetic time where he is saying, I need the world to see, right? I need the world to see Jesus and what he has done for them. Amen, church?